What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Natalie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I could hear you, but you couldn't hear me.
There you are. We found each other.
Oh, good. I don't know what those, you know, those technology is wonderful, but when it doesn't work, it bleeps you out, huh?
Yeah, you know, we used Skype last week, and I used, you know, it was worked fine this week. For some reason, it wasn't recognizing my Skype number, but we'll figure that out and
good deal.
Get her going. So if you're just listening, folks, or just tuning in, sorry for the delay, but we are here finally and excited about today's show. And, boy, let's get right to it, Natalie, since we're coming in a little late.
Sounds great, Randy. Thank you. Well, this week, we're just going to go over short sales. I know we've gone over them before, but this is more on the end of how to decide whether you should do a short sale or not, and some of the people to consult with all the time before you decide to do a short sale. So we'll be going through that. And then the second half of the show, we're going to go on to some topics that Randy's into this week, putting you on the spot. And we're, you know, with the markets right now all over the country, some places are rebounding a very little bit. Some, you know, most places are still underwater, even with wonderful low interest rates. I mean, 4% rates are something that have been unheard of, right? You know, and it's funny, I had a client today that said, wow, this rate's a little high for what I want. And I'm like, what's the rate? And he said, 4.5. And I said, oh, my gosh, that's like – and somebody else was offering 4. And to me, somebody that's been in the business over 26 years, these rates are phenomenal. It's like free money almost, you know. We used to think anything – I mean, I remember I got in 85, so that was right after you had the 18% interest rates and 14, yada, yada, yada. So when I got in, then they started coming back down. And then for a long period, you had them around – 10, then 9.5. And when we got so spoiled after 2000 with these low, low rates, you know, it was funny to me when people would complain when they were 6. And now to hear people complaining at 4, 4.5, I'm just like, it just blows me away because the prices are lower, the rates are lower. I mean, it's just the best time to buy a house. You know, I think so many people are sitting on the fence because they think it depends what market you're in. I mean, we definitely have to look at individual markets, but it's definitely a fantastic time to get in and buy. So for the sellers, I'd want to say a lot of buyers are afraid of short sales because you hear horror stories and how they're just taking months and months and months. You know, I wouldn't let that fear stop me from buying a short sale. I'd want to dig in and find out how many loans are owed on the property, who the mortgage holders are, you know, approximately who's going to negotiate the short sale, and find out a lot of information first before just automatically staying away from it. But as a seller, it's very important, crucial, to make sure you really do your homework before you just jump in and say, I'm going to do a short sale. Very important to consult with an accountant, a lawyer, and a real estate broker.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely, because there's tax ramifications with short sales. There's credit ramifications. The real estate brokers can give you a lot of information and agents on the market value. You also want to find out who's going to negotiate the short sale for you. the attorneys that you want to speak with is, it depends really, and you may, if you have a financial advisor, speak with a financial advisor as well. Now, not everybody has financial advisors, accountants, and, you know, some people just use H&R Block, right, for taxes. And but it behooves you to investigate and do your homework before you just jump into the short sale. Without knowing your financial situation, a bankruptcy might be better for somebody, you know, just depends on what the end result is. Short sales are typically better than a foreclosure in reference to your credit and issues, but it definitely is important to make sure you check all this out, ask a lot of questions, and you can also, we have free reports that you can download on shortsaleornot.com that has some information. But there's a lot of static right there on the line. Can you hear it?
No.
Is that a regular phone? Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm on my iPhone.
Oh, okay. And it's real staticky. I don't know if it's mine, maybe. Maybe I should try to call right back. Because I think that'll be hard to take out of the show.
No, I can take whatever we need to take out. For sure.
Oh, okay. You can hear all that because it's real staticky. So there's a lot of tips. I want to say seven tips of what to look for before you do a short sale. But you want to talk to actually a couple real estate brokers because you want to find out who's going to negotiate for you, what the market value is, what the plan of action is. On a short sale, that's typically not a situation where you want to get in and start handling it yourself. This is where you really want to turn the process over because there's just so much to do between the paperwork and the negotiating and marketing. But again, before you do it, make sure you know what the tax ramifications are. Your accountant needs to discuss it with you. Even if it's your principal residence, you still need to find out how they're going to show it as insolvent or what they're going to do so that you don't have the 1099 issue with the taxes. It's important to talk to an attorney, maybe a bankruptcy attorney as well, to look at your options. Now, also with bankruptcy attorneys, there's situations where people think they need to go into a Chapter 13 where they could actually go into a 7 and still keep their house. So there's a lot to really investigate. I'm a big fan of Nolo Press. Nolo Press books actually are a bunch of attorneys started it, I think, in the 70s. Don't quote me, but I know it's been a long time. And they're actually books written on many different aspects of legal issues for the layperson. So, you know, this is a big step that you're taking, and you may want to go ahead and go to Amazon.com or just go to the bookstore and get one of the books from Nolo Press on short sales and bankruptcy and, you know, different things that you're looking at and exploring your whole option. The reason we want to have the show today and go over these types of items is there's just so many people assuming, you know, they'll talk to their neighbors, talk to their friends, and say, I'm just going to do it this way. And it really, really behooves you to do the homework and go step by step so that you have concrete information and can make a really good decision that's, you know, so that you're planning the next 2, 3, 5, 10 years in your plan. So that's why it's really important to look at the whole situation before you do that. So,
I have a question. Teacher,
go ahead.
I just kind of flashed back to school there. I have a question. You can't see me raise my hand, but question is, when you said tax ramifications, what might be some tax ramifications?
Hey, now your question was that what are the tax ramifications on a short sale?
For instance, if say you're upside down 20 grand, and so in essence your bank is forgiving 20 grand, that could be taxable, right?
Absolutely. They've changed so many laws, and there were a couple laws that were stretched out until 2012, which we're in already. If you it was a principal residence, there were ways to get around the tax ramification. But so many things have changed that you have to talk to your accountant, and especially if it's an investment property or another and not a principal resident too. say you have that $20,000 loss, but you really didn't get in the bank, took, you know, $20,000, $100,000 loss, and of course you're not having any, you're not receiving any equity, they can send you a 1099 at the end of the year for their loss, and you can pay taxes on the on that $200,000 or $20,000. So, you know,
wow,
it can be a pretty hefty bill. And so you have to, you want to plan ahead of time with your accountant on how you're going to resolve this issue. You know, many people end up being insolvent after they do this, but you don't want to not check into this, have it resolved, think that you're moving on with your life and all of a sudden have this huge tax bill. You know, it's much easier to go in the right way than to try to fix something after the fact. You know, so, but it's huge. And these things are just very simple for us to talk about. They're very, you know, sounds like very much common sense. But I think many people are rushing into things because we don't know what we don't know. And we get into these situations and, you know, think it's simple or think we can handle it ourselves. And just need to plan. And I'm not saying short sales aren't the way to go. Many people are going through them and they're, you know, ending up better off on the other end of the deal based on how far under they are, you know. So very, very important. Just don't skip that step. And if somebody says, well, I don't know, or you call an accountant that doesn't know, and you don't have to have your own accountant. You can just, you know, pay for an hour of a good accountant's time. Now, if I was going to go and not have my own accountant and have to pick an accountant and I knew I was going to pay for that service, then I would probably look for a CPA attorney if I was going to go ahead and, you know, there's a certain amount of consultation that would probably be free. And it's worth it if, you know, you can do this and if it's a few hundred dollars to spend an hour with this person who's very, very knowledgeable, it's going to save you money in the long run, you know. Haste makes waste, and we're seeing so many things. And now you constantly hear people say, well, I was under, I refinanced, or I didn't know it was an interest-only loan, or I didn't know this was a balloon payment. And believe me, everybody's over 18, and they had to sign these documents, so they, if they didn't read them, it really is your own fault, right? And people don't want to hear that, but that's what happens. And so that's where we're just, you know, putting a lot of weight on these areas that, again, sound like common sense. Of course I would go to an attorney. Of course I would talk to my accountant, but not everybody does. And so, every, you know, it's really important in planning to step back and do this. Now, we have with our Real Estate Universal Network, we can also refer you to brokers and agents that can help you in all 50 states. The way to do that, you would just go through the website and fill out the contact us and what location you're in, et cetera, and what city, county, location, your circumstances, and then we would have somebody contact you. As far as, you know, so, you know, you can ask around for referrals on accountants and attorneys. And you want to be very specific with a real estate attorney, a CPA attorney, you know, people that specialize in these issues. Now, I don't recommend, but I'm not knocking it, but you have a lot of attorneys handling the negotiation on short sales. I found in that situation sometimes the attorneys may have 1,000 files and it can take a long time to get that short sale through. So I don't really agree with going that route, but, you know, that's a matter of personal preference.
As
far as having them negotiate, I think I would go to them to help with your planning on what you're doing, you know.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so that for taxes, I mean, for, you know, your whole plan.
Yeah.
A CPA attorney would be fantastic because then they usually have more knowledge of the 1099 issues. And if you want to get real technical, you know, and get it as specific as possible. And then the other thing is, you know, like a lot of people, we know a lot of, you know, in our programs that do the for sale banner program, et cetera, you really wouldn't want to try to do this on your own. That's just, it's a little much to do on your own.
Yeah, now I heard also I've heard both things about short sales. I've heard that it dings your credit, it's bad for your credit, but I've also heard that it shows up as a closed paid account.
That's a good point. It doesn't always show up that way. You know, you can try to negotiate it to show up that way. To have it, you can try to negotiate that in your short sale that it's going to show up as a closed paid account. It can show up as paid less than full, but then it would end up being satisfactory, you know, after it would be settled. So there's several ways that it can show up, but not all of the banks are doing that, you know. But it's gonna, I mean, it's gonna show that it's settled at that point, you know, once it's closed out, and then you'll still have your lates. If you're working with a smaller lender, you could even try to see if they'll remove some of the back lates. It's going to be highly unlikely with the larger mortgage companies. But that's a good point.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. That's interesting, because those are things, though, you can talk about ahead of time, like you say, right? Those are things you can negotiate in terms of possibly, you know, showing it, how it shows up on your credit report. That's probably, again, why you want a realtor and or an attorney involved, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and I just find that, you know, I think it's really, and then the big thing about the short sales, remember, you're not allowed to keep any of the equity. So when you do the other programs and you're trying to sell a property by yourself, et cetera, you're usually going to save equity, right? You're taking that money. But in this situation on a short sale, the lender is taking less money. So they're actually agreeing to let you get out of from under it. And you have to make sure also that you don't have a deficiency judgment. There's a lot of wording that has to go into these agreements, you know, so you definitely, that's not something I would do by myself, and issues so that you do not have anything come back to haunt you later. So, but because you're not going to, you know, they stipulate that the HUD settlement statement, closing statement that's done at closing, has to show zero going back to the sellers. The owners cannot... property owners cannot receive $1, or the lender says no, and that they're very strict about that. And there's a lot of certifications that have to be signed. You know, there can't be outside deals. You know, many, many situations come on into a play with that. So it's pretty interesting, but it's not. It's very doable, and a lot of people are going that route. I just think it's important because so many people are doing it. To spend that extra time and cover yourself in these different areas. We have a lot of different, we've seen a lot of approvals come through, and they do not specifically say that they're releasing the seller in full or the property owner in full. It'll say, okay, we've agreed to accept your short sale of $300,000, and maybe the property, you know, the bank is due $500,000. It needs to specifically say that the, this is done in full, you know, that there will be no deficiency judgment. I mean, there's different ways that they're written, but basically that's what they're, you know, they can't come back, that they're agreeing to accept that in full. Pretty, you know, just even one, two sentences can change the whole, you know, the way you end up a couple years from now in it. So, again, it's important. And that's what we just want to stress, these different details, because it gives you peace of mind. You're planning planning everything out, and moving forward.
Wow! So that's interesting. And again, it's, as you know, I'm taking notes because I'm a potential short sale-er, you know. And I've been talking to you, of course, about that in previous weeks off the air, but. So this is very near and dear to my heart because, you know, these are just tiny little things, like you say, that make a huge, huge difference. And that I wrote down the statement, release in full. Make sure that it's...
You have to because they can come back and they could turn it out, you know, come back a couple years later and say, well, we accepted it, but, you know, so you could close, but you're still liable for the rest. And a lot of people assume that they're not, you know. And, you know, you have these, what do they call them, the companies that debt companies that go in and they buy up the debt and they take off the debt off of the different, and then they go out and then bid it out or actually go out and go to the consumer and collect the monies, right, and get the judgments. So, you know, banks, mortgage companies or whomever can sell off their debt and say, okay, here's just an example, $1 million. I'm sure it's millions and millions. And these companies can come in and take it over and then go to the owner and previous owner and say, you owe this money. You had owed it from Bank of America or whomever. I'm giving you generic examples, not getting technical, just the concept. And then, you know, you need to have that document. And, oh, definitely keep your documents I would keep them for good. So that you can pull it out and say, no, there's an error here. I was released in full. This was settled in full, you know, no liability, no future deficiency judgment, et cetera, et cetera. Because it, you know, mistakes happen and files get put in the wrong places, et cetera, et cetera. So even though your language may have been right at settlement and closing, you need to hold on to it for the future so that when that, if that happens, you can, that those people will go away and you say, leave me alone, I didn't do anything, you know. So,
That could be like the double whammy. You could be, I guess you could get the 1099, have the tax ramifications for being forgiven. Well, no, I don't think you could have both. It's either or, I guess, right?
No, it's not forgiven. No, you could have both. Oh,
wow.
You mean as far as they're writing it off and giving you the 1099? Oh, they can still come back for the deficiency judgment, yeah. They write it off their books as bad debt.
Wow.
They can, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, they can still do things. But that's a good point. The way what you said carries a lot of merit in certain situations on how it's structured. Now the bankruptcy laws, of course, you want to check with the bankruptcy attorney because those laws are changing constantly. But the way they were written, if somebody did a bankruptcy, then that would be diminished. They wouldn't owe on the 1099 either. Yeah. So, you know, but that's what you need to get. And I would get these things in writing from the attorney and the accountant. And, you know, I would cover myself because it just seems that so much information is going out there these days. It isn't always the best best advice, you know.
Well, so. And I think these banks bank, pardon the pun, on, you know, Joe Average not reading or paying attention or knowing what to ask. And, so they know that, you know, you're kind of like a lamb to the slaughter if you're doing it on your own, especially where you're just, you don't know what to ask. You don't, you know, you're not aware that you could be.
No. And there's a lot of negotiating. Sometimes you have to take people through certain programs just so that they can negotiate. For example, when somebody has a first and a second, usually the lenders will negotiate down on the second. But there's a couple smaller banks that may play hardball and say, we're not going to negotiate on the second. But if the first was done, through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, then under, you know, and it's under $729,000, then they can go ahead and try to do a loan mod under the HAMP program, and then get denied with that, and then switch it to the HAFA program. So it's really important to understand how these different programs work. Which in the HAFA program, then the second has to basically agree to take less, you know. So there's certain federal guidelines and legal guidelines and things that, you know, so that's why it's really important to understand the whole process, you know, and everything, what happens all the way around.
Wow.
So
Real Universal Radio is the show you're listening to. And, again, Natalie Mullinex, our host, Randy Zachary, your co-host, and our phone number, by the way, if you're listening, to call in, is 347-945-5428. That's 347-945-5428. I want to say hi again to my good friend Tom listening in Reno this morning. Actually afternoon in California. But thanks for checking in via text. You can email us, Realty Universal Radio at realtyuniversal.com. Follow us, of course, on Twitter at Realty Universal. And also, of course, check the website out at realtyuniversal.com for this information and so much more. In fact, Natalie, I know you have so many domain names. You actually have a short sale.
Short sale or not.com. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
we have bankruptcy or not, foreclosure or not. But they're just kind of general. You know, you still need to dig in and get in with the attorneys and accountants. Yep, we do.
Okay. Well, you want to take a break?
Absolutely.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back on the other side. And want to talk a little bit about the difference between passion and purpose. That's what I've been kind of percolating on this week. And so if that's okay, we will do that.
Oh, well, love it. I would love it. Love it.
Okay, we'll be back. Right after this.
I wanted to give you four specific examples that I'm going to cover at the end about how a product called Silk tripled their sales by doing one thing, how an artist named Jeff Koons went from being a nobody to making a whole bunch of money and having a lot of impact, to how Frank Gehry redefined what it meant to be an architect, And one of my biggest failures as a marketer in the last few years, a record label I started that had a CD called Sauce. But before I can do that, I got to tell you about sliced bread and a guy named Otto Rohwedder. Now, before sliced bread was invented in the 1910s, I wonder what they said, like the greatest invention since the telegraph or something. But this guy named Otto Rohwedder invented sliced bread. And he focused, like most inventors did, on the patent part and the making part. And the thing about the invention of sliced bread is this, that for the first 15 years after sliced bread was available, no one bought it, no one knew about it. It was a complete and total failure. And the reason is that until Wonder came along and figured out how to spread the idea of sliced bread, no one wanted it. That the success of sliced bread, like the success of almost everything we've been talking about at this conference, is not always about what the patent is like or what the factory is like. It's about can you get your idea to spread or not. And I think that the way you're going to get what you want or cause the change that you want to change to happen is you're going to figure out a way to get your ideas to spread. And it doesn't matter to me whether you're running a coffee shop or you're an intellectual or you're in business or flying hot air balloons. I think that all this stuff applies to everybody regardless of what we do. That what we are living in is a century of idea diffusion. That people who can spread ideas, regardless of what those ideas are, win. And when I talk about it, I usually pick business because they make the best pictures that you can put in your presentation and because it's the easiest sort of way to keep score. But I want you to forgive me when I use these examples because I'm talking about anything that you decide to spend your time to do. At the heart of spreading ideas is TV and stuff like TV. TV and mass media made it really easy to spread ideas in a certain way. I call it the TV industrial complex. And the way the TV industrial complex works is you buy some ads, interrupt some people, that gets you distribution. You use the distribution you get to sell more products. You take the profit from that to buy more ads. And it goes around and around and around, the same way the military industrial complex worked a long time ago. Now that model of, and we heard it yesterday, if we could only get on the homepage of Google, if we could only figure out how to get promoted there, if we could only figure out how to grab that person by the throat and tell them about what we want to do. If we could do that, then everyone would pay attention, we would win. Well, this TV industrial complex informed my entire childhood and probably yours. I mean, all of these products succeeded because someone figured out how to touch people in a way that they weren't expecting, in a way they didn't necessarily want, with an ad over and over and over again until they bought it. And the thing that's happened is they canceled the TV industrial complex.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy.
You are back, and we are back, and back from the break. And the second half of our show, we typically always talk about life, about spirituality, about what's going on in our worlds, what's going on in your world. And again, love to hear from you at 347-945-5428. One more time, that number, 347-945-5428. And I've got something I want to talk about in just a minute. But before I do, speaking of traveling worldwide, we're going to be doing the show from a long way away here pretty soon, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. We're going to go we're going to be doing it in Europe, in France, in April.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we'll be back, I guess we'll be back, well, you're in California, and then we'll be in Hawaii probably the end of May. I have to look at some of the scheduling. And we'll be back in the East Coast in beginning of May, or beginning to middle. Exciting.
We should Hawaii. That's what we'll do. We'll just meet in Hawaii then. That sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a good one.
I read a book recently by a guy named Tim Sanders, New York Times best-selling author, and he was the chief solutions officer for Yahoo, and pretty bright guy. And he talks about in this book harnessing the power of total confidence. And the book is called Today We Are Rich. And boy, it's an amazing, amazing book. And actually, maybe over the next few weeks, I may, you know, when we have time, and it's you know, this half of the show where we talk about making a difference and making your dreams come true and doing the change and all of that. It really does tie in a little bit to what we've talked about in terms of following your dreams, chasing your passion, and making a difference. And he distinguishes, and by the way, Natalie, absolutely, whenever you want to jump in, absolutely jump in here, because
okay.
I know your passion as well. But he says something. It's interesting. He makes a statement. You know, parents are always telling their kids, you know, pursue your passion, you know. And we that's kind of some counsel we get from friends a lot. Pursue your passion. Well, he makes the statement that he says, you know, he thinks that that's okay when you tell your kids to pursue their passion because you want them to find out what they enjoy and what they're good at. But he makes a distinction. He says, when they start to enter their teen years and obviously their adulthood, you really want to begin to steer them from, you know, their passions, which is kind of an egocentric thing, to what is your purpose? How can you serve people? How can you be other-oriented? Because, and his premise is, we humans, we're pretty egocentric, selfish folks, you know, on our own, and we really do need people to help steer us toward making a difference. And so he says that, you know, that as we mature, obviously we've pursued our passion, and then we need to begin to say, now, how do these gifts of mine and this passion of mine, how can I then, you know, serve a higher purpose with those gifts?
I love it. Yeah, and, you know, that keeps you really focused, and you're giving back, and it kind of ties in. It ties in with your passion. Then I think you never run out of passion when you're really focused on your mission. I love it.
Yeah, and he's saying, you know, the question is, people might ask, you know, well, how do you detect your higher purpose? What is my, you know, what is my purpose? I mean, what is it, you know? And he says something that's pretty amazing. He says, it's your purpose lies usually at the intersection of a make-a-difference opportunity and your personal capabilities. So there's an intersection of that make a difference opportunity, whatever that is that you can see in your world, and then you combine that, you know, intersect that with your personal capabilities. You recognize the outside need that your gifts can address, and a resulting sense of enthusiasm comes to you. It's your purpose.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like getting in your zone, too, where your skills are naturally, where you naturally make your heart sing. That's typically part of your passion, and then it does take you right to your purpose as well. It's amazing.
Yeah. Example,
I'll have to get that book.
Yeah, it's chock full, and it's Today We Are Rich, Tim Sanders, and you know, it's just chock full, and I use the example for me of, you know, passion being radio, always kind of has been a passion. But my purpose, how do I tie that in? Well, we are doing it. Your passion,
yeah.
I mean, your expertise, if you will, real estate marketing, you know. And so you and I really taking our passion and giftings and tying it into a purpose. And the purpose in this show is to authentically engage the culture and encourage other people to make a difference. That's a core thing for you and I, and here we are
exactly.
Doing it with the show. So there's an example, if you will, of, you know, of taking a passion, taking some gifting. And he makes the point, too, that sometimes here's the sad thing. Sometimes people follow their passion, and it doesn't really, you know, it's not something that they can really serve a higher purpose with necessarily.
But really?
I'm serving, you know, I'm doing my passion, I'm doing my thing, but I'm not really helping anybody else. And you become really pretty despondent, pretty miserable, because there's no serving others, you know, involved there. It's just, ooh, you know, I've got my thing, I'm doing my thing, aren't I cool? And as we know, that's just a kind of a miserable, lonely place to be. So the trick is, again, to whatever your gifting and passion is, think about how you can then tie it in to your purpose, and what is your purpose. And anyway, I'm all fired up.
I love that, because, you know, we really are made to fellowship. You know, we're really made to have communities and grow in communities and work with people and build and have the support of fellowship and communities, you know. And I think that makes complete sense what you're saying, to where when you're serving others, you know, you end up with a community and you're giving back, and then it comes back to you too. It works both ways. And it raises your heart, you know, it uplifts you. And it's really makes sense, passion and purpose. Yep.
Yeah, and we and I know, you know, you and I have talked about this. In fact, this is you know, again, one of the reasons that we, you know, that we started this radio show. You on the real estate side, stepping away from really the, you know, the brokerage to some degree, and working on the Realty Universal because of your desire to, you know, to give back. And I think we all need that. I mean, I think Jesus said something about, you know, to find yourself, you must lose yourself, you know. And it's an oxymoron. It seems a little kind of upside down. But really, to find who you really are, we need to lose ourselves and really in others. And that's a tough one, man. Those verses that I read in the Bible about, you know, think of others better than yourself, and all those, you know, in other translations say more important than yourself. And I like that one, better than yourself.
You know, right, but it's important that the energy levels, you know, it's important that we have our balance and we work on our energy levels, because it's easy to get kicked off your balance and off your energy. And even with your purpose and your passion, you may be roaring and roaring along and then all of a sudden go, wait a minute, what am I doing? Is this really what I want to do? You know, so it's definitely good to look at the whole picture and see how you can do this. And the good thing about pursuing your passion too, though, is there's never any. It's not wrong to change. You know, you may change your whole course at some time in your life. You know, and then sometimes it may look like a zigzag, and you're going okay over here, over there, over there, over here, over here. And at the end, you go, wow, it still all worked because I was pursuing my passion and still going with my heart. You know. You know, we're more upbeat people. I haven't been as upbeat lately with my brother passing away. I've been really down, but I've had to deal with some things with some really low energy stuff that I always said, hey, you know, everybody's equal, everybody's the same, we're all one, God loves everybody, and Jesus would say we're all the same, you know. And then you start to deal with some stuff that you go, oh, my gosh, I would never think to act that way or do this or do whatever, you know. And so we're always learning, you know, no matter what we're doing and what road we're on, we're always going to have this little bumps in the road, and somehow we have to get that passion back in, right? Bring the passion back. So
I like
that book.
Absolutely.
It sounds really good.
Yeah, and the passion, you're right, following your passion, your passions can change. Like I say, radio was always kind of one of my things, and you know, in recent years, because of what Monica and I have been through, we really have found a passion in helping other couples who are struggling, because we were there, we were hopeless, and so we also kind of get that sense when we're helping other couples that for this we were born. And you're right, it was a zigzag, you betcha, you know, and you look back and go, wow, you know, what
isn't
that
amazing?
About? You know, now you see that, you know, our mistakes, we're able to kind of use our mistakes and really help other people. And so that's huge. I know you're a motivational, being a motivational speaker and reader, I know you're familiar with Napoleon Hill. And
sure.
I love a quote he said about this. He said, the most practical of all methods for controlling the mind is the habit of keeping it busy with a definite purpose. And he says, when you follow your purpose, like we've been talking about, Small problems pale in comparison to your mission. You can dismiss self-doubt and wave off personal uncertainty. Your cause, and I love this one, your cause is your shield, protecting you from the naysayers and doomsayers. Your mind is fixed on solutions, not on petty problems. And again, that's just somebody on purpose saying, you know what, we're doing this because we want to see the world change. We want to be the change, and the world needs to hear what we have to say. And I know we struggle, I do, because of my broken parts and places and in my heart where I'll wonder sometimes, like, you know, really, does anybody really need to hear what I have to say? And yet I know that they do. And we all have genius. We all have experiences. We all have beauty that we can give to the world. Everybody does. And but, man, our brokenness, our woundedness, whatever you want to call it, those old tapes in our heads, maybe from our parents or whatever, kind of, no matter how old we are, and I'm going to be 55 tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Happy birthday. I didn't realize it was tomorrow. Happy birthday.
55 tomorrow. And don't you know that some of those old tapes from my dad saying, you know, you're no good, you're a loser.
Oh, yeah.
Those things, the good news is, as you get older and learn how to, you know, replace those with
the records.
You learn how to do those, you're not as affected like you were early in your life. But I know you know what I'm talking about. We can.
Oh,
we can
absolutely, absolutely. I didn't know you were a Pisces. Wow. Okay.
I am a Pisces. That's right.
Yeah, you are. But no, you're right. The records have to go away. You know, it's a tough thing. I mean, life is it goes up and down. And I find if we make choices and we're careful in some of our decisions and who we associate with and what we're doing, you know, as far as serving and being careful, then, you know, it works out pretty well. But we get those little bumps in the road that come in, and the things, sometimes we get thrown curveballs. And what do they say? We really have to learn how to stay strong and in the midst of it all. And I like this saying that says it's like peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. And that's by unknown. I don't know who wrote that. But, those are the tests. When you have trials and tribulations, it's called tests, huh? Where you got to go, oh, boy, can I do it, you know?
No.
And that pursuing your passion, I love what you said, because it's so true. When we're really focused on the tasks and the how-to and know what the end is, you know, we know it's like, you know, going to a destination. We don't go without directions, right? Now everybody's we were using MapQuest for a while. Now everybody has their GPSs. And it takes you to the final destination. And I think that's where, when you're pursuing your passion, maybe, you know, the final's going to change, or you're going to change your attitude, but, it's going to readjust itself. But when you're headed towards that passion, it's amazing how easy it is to build and build and build and do what you're doing. I knew in Maryland, when I was first building the brokerages years ago, I just went boom, 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 and did it. And when I went back to Hawaii and started building there from scratch, did the same thing. Because it's like when you know what your goal is, it's easier to do it, you know, and you're focused. But it's amazing what you said about not letting the small things get to you. When you really are focused like that, the energy starts going. It's almost like a snowball, rolling a snowball down a mountain, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, if you were going to roll it that, you know what I mean. The synergy starts working, and it's amazing how these other obstacles don't get in your way, whereas if you just go and you focus on nothing but that, it stops you from doing anything, stops you from your passion, stops you from your purpose. I was talking to somebody earlier today who his mother's 83 years old, and she loves to bake, and she's had customers and clients for years. That's still, I mean, she's built a business out of this, and now she has some help. But she still wants to do this at 83 years old because she still is so passionate about it and loves it and loves giving back, even though she has to wear she's ended up in the hospital a couple of times because of the flour and the cooking, and she finally has to be agreeing to wearing a mask. But she's so passionate, she's tickled pink about doing this, you know. And that's when you really see, hey, somebody's really, we're working on our passion, you know. And that's, you know, those are the things that I think it's cool. It's really meant to be.
I've been getting some emails from John Maxwell lately, and of course everybody knows him. He's the inspirational, motivational guy and former pastor. In fact, he still is a pastor. And he was talking in this video the other day, a video email, about a lot of people have these dreams, have these plans, have these passions, and it's ready, aim. They never shoot. It's just ready,
yeah.
aim, talk about it, come up with excuses, why they're not going to take action, why they're not going to this, why they're not going to that. And it's just ready, aim, and they never shoot. And then he said, and then there's other people who it's, you know, ready, shoot, aim. You know, you don't think ahead, you don't plan, you know. And he says it's about balance, and it kind of comes back to that word balance that we always talk about. It's about balance, and you've got to aim, you've got to plan, you've got to think through, you've got to pray, and then you've got to pull the trigger when you're convinced that, you know, God's in it and it's your destiny.
It's amazing. And you know in your heart, you know, if it feels right or it doesn't feel right or it's something, you know. But it's amazing. It's amazing how it works. You know, one way I've noticed when you know you're in your zone or you're working on a project or digging into a book or you're in stuff is you lose track of time. You know, when you find yourself, oh, my gosh, I just worked on that for hours. It's like, those are little signs that, you know, you're in your work and your passion, you know. And you and I, though, tend to always look through the rosy-colored glasses, and I always have, you know. And it's, so sometimes it's difficult when we get into situations where we have to go, full force and realize some people's agendas are different, you know, and they're not always in a good place. You want to try to eliminate that as soon as possible. And so we are already almost to the end of the show, Randy. I don't know, you and I feel like we need to be sitting and having coffee together. You know, we get on those shows and we just start chit-chatting, and before you know, we're all rolling over, the hour's gone. We need 2 hours.
You know, this is probably the second half hour where we get going back and forth on the, you know, on the be the change and the passion and purpose stuff. You know, I know you and I can just feel the energy level rise, and it's been great again. For those of you just tuning in, it's Realty Universal Radio and RealtyUniversal.com, our website, Natalie Mullinex, our host. I'm your co-host, Randy Zachary, and we are typically here at noon Pacific every Wednesday, and had a little snafu here at the beginning of the show. If you tuned in, you're going to listen again. We'll edit that out.
And it's going to be 9 o'clock when we're in France. It'll be 9 o'clock there. Of course, it'll still be 3 o'clock East Coast time, and then where the clocks change next week, right? So yeah, we'll be at. We'll actually be 9 o'clock in Hawaii instead of 10 o'clock. So yeah. So we've really got the shows kind of scheduled to where we can hit a lot of time zones, you know, during waking hours. Not over in the Philippines. Philippines, well, 12 hours, so we're kind of there in the middle of the night there, but can always re-listen to the show. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
We are archived, and we're on Twitter. Follow us at Realty Universal. Also Facebook / Realty Universal. So we are hitting all cylinders in terms of promoting the show. The listening audience continues to grow. We continue to analyze the statistics.
Oh, okay.
And folks listen a lot to the archived, which is, of course, why podcasts and everything else are so popular now, is that you can kind of listen at your own convenience on demand as opposed to missing a show, you know, on any given time. And that's also kind of why this internet radio thing like Blog Talk Radio is kind of, in a way, taking the place of what we call terrestrial radio, which is
terrestrial radio. That's what you call the land radio, right? Terrestrial.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the transmitter and the radio waves.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the internet, like Blog Talk Radio, we're able to literally be around the world via the internet. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Well, that is that's a wrap.
Awesome, Thanks.
Thanks again for listening to everybody.
And I would just like to say, I wish you peace.